Treach. It's a little bit of teaching with my preaching and a little preaching with my teaching. Amen. Can we do that? Yeah, multitasking, that's right. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Lord, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. The word's just beautiful. Lord, minister this word to us. You're in control of it. I ask that these scripture passages become a rhema to us, alive in us. Lord, we always thank you for the Spirit. And I ask that the Spirit rule and reign today. Spirit always represents Jesus. So I know Jesus will be here too. But I ask that the Spirit rule and reign here this morning. We just bless your name. Holy Spirit, speak through me and pour out this morning. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When I told Bonnie I was going to be preaching on the Holy Spirit, she just had to dig out some Holy Spirit songs. And there are not too many written today. But I enjoyed those songs. I really did. Okay, chapter 12, we're going to begin with verse 4. Chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. Everybody there? Amen. Wait. Somebody's telling me to wait. 1 Corinthians. You got second in there? Did I say second? I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians. Hurry up. We're late now. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Okay, amen.
Amen. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's very important. The gifts of the Spirit are given for the church. Everyone in the church. Amen? Remember that. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Amen. We're going to stop right there. Are the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit for the church today? Speaking in tongues, prophecies, healings, discerning of spirits. These and other supernatural signs and spiritual gifts are commonplace occurrences for the early church And that the Bible record's clear, but should we expect such spiritual gifts in our church today? Are they necessary and relevant right now? Amen. A growing number of Christians have responded yes to that during the 20th century, but also in this present time. In fact, the first half of the 20th century saw the emergence of many of today's large Pentecostal denominations with the associated manifestation of various gifts of the Holy Spirit. However, man's experience and his personal beliefs in and of themselves do not establish doctrine. They don't make doctrine. It's the prerogative of the Bible. God's word alone establishes Christian doctrine. So in the major portion of this message, we're going to examine a number of scripture verses which supports the ongoing validity of the gifts of the Holy Spirit throughout the church age. Now I'm going back to 1 Corinthians 12 and read some of this again. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And drop down to verse 7. Manifestation of Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This list comprises what Bible teachers commonly call the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the order listed is translated in King James Version, they are: number 1, the word of wisdom. Number 2, the word of knowledge. Number 3, faith. Number 4, gifts of healing. Number 5, working of miracles. Number 6, prophecy. Number 7, discerning of spirits. Number 8, divers or various kinds of tongues. Number 9, the interpretation of tongues. Among those who deny tongues or these gifts is a major Protestant denomination in America who say the gifts are, especially the gift of tongues, are of the devil, and it ended with the apostles. However, ironically, there's a great move among the missionaries of this same Protestant denomination who claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In fact, this denomination has adapted the theology of don't ask and don't tell. Because if their missionaries do admit to being filled with the Spirit, they are asked to leave the denomination. Within the ranks of the Assemblies of God worldwide, there are more than 62 million believers. This is the largest Protestant group in the world who have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and have spoken in other tongues. And the Lord only knows how many people in full gospel denominations and churches like Turning Point who have also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Makes it pretty difficult to deny the existence of tongues, considering the number of people who have received the gift of the Spirit. Biblically knowledgeable Christians readily admit that these supernatural spiritual gifts were active in the first century church as recorded in the New Testament. But the question that is raised by some, however, and which is at the heart of this message is, are these spiritual gifts still occurring today? My reply is a heartfelt yes to that question. And I invite you to consider the following scriptures in support of that belief. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18, says this, And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Also in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. These two sets of verses are known as the Great Commission. These words of Jesus makes it quite evident that the Great Commission is intended for the entire church age. Entire church age stretching from Jesus' first coming to his second coming. Consider the following. Jesus commissioned the church to go into all the world with the gospel. That's in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. We are still in that process of fulfilling this command. Jesus commissioned the church to preach the good news to all creation. Mark 16, 15. We're still in the process of fulfilling that command. Those to be affected by the Great Commission is whoever believes. Whoever believes, and that's in Mark 16, 16. Whoever would encompass all believers in every century. Supernatural gifts, signs, including tongues, driving out demons, and healing the sick, were promised by Jesus and are intended to accompany the Great Commission. And the gospel is to be preached to all creation in all the world, to whoever believes, and it is to continue through the church age. It is also to be accompanied by the supernatural spiritual gifts of God. In sum, the Great Commission throughout the centuries since Jesus' death and resurrection involves preaching the gospel of Christ, confirming through supernatural manifestations of God. Now, let's look at the part of these scriptures again, of the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. What were those signs? Gifts of the Spirit. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. What's that age? It's the church age. It's from Jesus coming the first time to Jesus coming the second time. The age. We can see that Jesus said to the very end of the age, we are to teach and obey everything, including his commands to heal the sick and cast out devils, etc. It is vitally important that we Christians of the 21st century understand that Jesus intended the Great Commission to be pursued throughout the church age, just as he originally established it. Sadly, for too much of history, the church has been content to try to reach the world with the preached word only, thereby violating Jesus' wish and the Apostle Paul's great declaration found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, where Paul said, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's think about this scripture. I'm sure you recall the opening list of gifts of the Holy Spirit taken from chapter 12 in the first letter to the Corinthians. And here the Apostle Paul opens the same letter, 1 Corinthians 12, by assuring them that they will lack no spiritual gifts all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Contrary to teaching in some modern circles, the early church was promised that all the way to the end of the church age, up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would not lack any spiritual gift. Millions of Christians around the world continue to believe these straightforward promises of God, and they see the gifts of the Holy Spirit regularly manifested by God in their midst, exactly as promised. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Today, as then, it is vitally important that our preaching of the gospel is accompanied with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. This principle still applies today. That is, the faith of those we lead to Jesus Christ must not rest on skill and wisdom of our words, but on the Word of God confirmed with genuine manifestations of the Holy Spirit's power. In other words, the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit provide Christians in every century with a powerful testimony to the reality of the gospel we preach. Amen. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus promised that believers, not just apostles, would do the works that he did, and even greater, because he has returned to the Father and given us his Spirit. Christ's disciples in the early church did indeed do the works that Jesus had done, but note that Jesus' promise was not just to the disciples of that first generation, but to anyone who has faith in me. Anyone who has faith in me. In Romans 11:29 in the New King James, it says, God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. In Romans 11:29 in the New Living Translation, it says, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. That means God's charisma, his spiritual gifts, are never ending. The Amplified Bible says, for God's gifts and his calls are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given. Let me say that one again. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given. The Greek word here for gifts is charisma, and that's the where we get the English word charismatic. The Bible is assuring us that the charismatic gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are never revoked or withdrawn when once they have been given. They're never revoked or withdrawn when once they have been given. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God the Father does not change. He does not change. His spiritual gifts do not change. And his promise to give us those gifts does not change. God confirmed the preaching of the gospel in the first century with signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he does not change. He does not change. He confirms the same gospel in the 21st century with the same supernatural manifestations. You with me, folks? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. Jesus ministered in power, signs, wonders, and miracles in the first century, and the Bible clearly records him empowering the early church to minister with supernatural manifestations and gifts. Well, Jesus is the same today. Jesus has not changed. As in the early church, so today he equips his followers to minister in the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3 says this, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? That was the New King James Version. In the King James Version, it says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Jesus began the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. He will bring his church to maturity and completion in the same power of the Holy Spirit, not by the working of flesh. The early church was born of the Spirit, was baptized in the Spirit, ministered in the power of the Spirit, and manifested the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. I'll repeat that for you. The early church was born of the Spirit, was baptized in the Spirit, ministered in the power of the Spirit, and manifested the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. But as Paul said, even then, there began a drifting away from living and ministering in the Spirit to operate in the flesh, that is, by man's human abilities. Some segments of Christianity in our day have made the same error, that is, believing that human effort can successfully accomplish Christ's great commission. Human effort will never accomplish Jesus' commission. Never. To correct this error, Paul called them back to remembrance of their beginnings by the Spirit. The beginnings by the Spirit. And that's my desire in this message, to call the church back to its beginnings. When the Word of God was preached and confirmed in the power of Holy Spirit, signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I want to go someplace most of us know the passage of Scripture. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12. This is called the love chapter. It's usually spoken at weddings. Amen. It says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now this portion of Scripture has been used by many to allegedly prove that the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased at some arbitrary time long ago. In fact, these verses prove exactly the opposite, though. Exactly the opposite. They are among the New Testament's strongest references to the continued validity of the spiritual gifts. Amen. Isn't that ironic that the passage of Scripture they deny the spiritual gifts with have the strongest way of declaring that the spiritual gifts are still alive? Will prophecies, tongues, and knowledge cease, be still, and pass away? Certainly. Certainly. These verses clearly declare that. But the relevant question is when and in what sense? The answers are clear from the very text itself. That is, in a perfected state that occurs upon the second coming of Jesus and not before. Verse 10 says, when the perfect comes. When the perfect comes. As of today, some 21 centuries later, perfection has not yet come. Jesus is the perfect one. In verse 12, it says, perfect comes to us at his second coming when we see him face to face. Hallelujah. Then when we see the perfect one face to face, tongues will be stilled, prophecies will cease, and knowledge will pass away. But in what sense will they cease, be stilled, and pass away? This is a crucially important question, folks. The answer is given in verse 12. And let's use the specific illustration of knowledge, which verse 8 says will pass away. Well, Larry, will you raise the temp a little bit? We've got some cold ladies up here. When Rosie gets a jacket on, we know that it's cold.
Yes, sir.
All right. This is a crucially important question, folks. The answer is given in verse 12, and let's use the specific illustration of knowledge, which verse 8 says it will pass away. Verse 12 shows us that knowledge as we know it now passes away, but not in the sense of going from some knowledge to no knowledge, but in the sense of going from knowing in part to knowing fully. This well-known portion of Scripture says nothing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceasing in the sense of disappearing. The flow of thought, as clearly illustrated in verse 12, is that spiritual gifts that are partial now, tongues, prophecy, knowledge, will not go from partiality to zero, but from partiality to fullness. For the entire church age, we can expect to know in part and to prophesy in part. Then at Jesus' second coming, when the perfect comes, the imperfect disappears. And that which has been in part, verse 12, will be brought to fullness. Amen. Now, I'm going to begin closing here with the scripture we examined earlier. In 1 Corinthians 1, 7 through 8, it says, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody tell me what the day of the Lord Jesus Christ is? His second coming. End of the age. We have seen how Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in chapter 12, right? Are you with me? He showed in chapter 13 how they would continue during the church age in their partial, incomplete state, and then would be brought to fullness at the second coming of Jesus. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, scripture we just read, he encouraged his hearers to expect to come short in no gift to the end, right up to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He began that passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians, by saying to expect the gifts, come short in no gift to the end. To the end, to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Expect to come. That began his letter to the Corinthians. Then in chapter 12, he described the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's the encouragement to the church today. Preach the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. Share the Word of God in your personal testimony and witnessing, and expect God to confirm His Word. And you can do that by believing Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. Amen? Did I teach you something? Years ago, some of you will remember that I talked about this before, but I went to a church conference and they were talking about putting the Holy Ghost into small groups, but not in the church setting. Some of the churches around here have done the same thing. They control the Holy Spirit. Shame on them. But this is the trend of this 21st century church, to control the Holy Spirit and only use Him in small group settings where it's not embarrassing. Come on. Come on now. This is... I remember a lady giving a tongue one time, and the preacher just went out. You control them somehow. The idea is getting away from the Holy Spirit. And whether or not you believe it, that idea rubs off on us. When we have our Christian friends that don't know what we're talking about, don't expect anything to happen like that, those things rub off on us. So you need to make your mind up that I'm going to follow the Word of God. I'm going to follow what the Word says. Because mankind always diverts, always perverts, always changes things. And only the Word of God is truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You cannot trust anything else but the Word of God. It's the same every day. And what I love about it, it's alive. One day you can read a scripture, and it's a good scripture, but the next day it can come alive to you. It will mean something completely different. Okay? The gifts of the Spirit are to be active in church. and they're to be active in Turning Point Church.
Amen.
Now, I know that God didn't say this and then let this church be without gifts. The gifts are not for the pastor just to participate in. The gifts are for the people of the church to participate in. There's even rules and regulations on how they should operate. But the church should have the gifts of the Spirit operating every time we come together. Did you hear me? Okay, now I can't go around kicking you in the bottom and telling you to express that word of knowledge that you have. I can't make you do anything. But the rules of the church is to let these gifts operate. And remember what I told you to begin with the prophet of you all. It will profit everybody in here to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
Why is that, Brother Jerry? Because your faith will blow up. Your faith will multiply. Your faith will grow when you hear God speak to you in a word of prophecy or a tongues and interpretation. Your faith will grow when somebody says, There's a miracle in me.
Yeah.
And they go to somebody and they do a miracle. Amen? Come on.
Amen.
And there's gifts of healing. Here comes a man in a wheelchair and a gift of healing is going to bring him out. Does the pastor have to do that? No.
No.
No. We do things decently and in order, but we do things. I hope you got that.
Yes.
We don't limit God.
That's right.
Brother Dave?
I have no idea. My brother is a scientist. He's quite accurate, and he's really close to me. Back in the 70s, they had a Catholic priest, just, I guess, to open our mind, that any Christians, they were on some trip in the wilderness, and they ran out of gas. Completely, they were bringing medicine to a tribe that was going to die. They poured water into the boat, the engine. They ran it for hundreds of miles.
Praise God.
This is happening. My brother's not one to lie, and this was not a Protestant. It was actually a Catholic, charismatic priest type person, but a missionary.
Amen.
You know, if we run out of gas in the future, if we're really doing something for God, the Lord does these things today.
Yes, absolutely. He hadn't stopped. There's always a remnant that takes these promises and goes with them.
Yeah.
Always a remnant.
Yeah.
So, folks, I'm encouraging you when we come together. If you have a word, if you have a prophecy, if you have a gift of healing, I believe the Lord will tell you who that's for. You understand? He'll tell you, you're not going to stand up and say, I got a gift of healing, and it's not for anybody in the church. There'll be somebody here that will need that gift of healing. Okay? The same with miracles. But we all need to participate.
Yes.
We all need to hear that small voice in us and participate. Is that easy?
Not always.
And the first time, it's difficult. It's just me. I'm just thinking it's me. It's not you. It's that voice within you that is sharing truth that the church needs to hear. Now, I'm going to shut up, but I hope I taught you something today. You know, God's design, I said I'm going to shut up.
You may, but God's not ready to shut up yet, so come on.
God's design is always perfect.
Amen.
Jerry, why does this have to happen? Why do we do these things? He wants you to know that He's close. He wants you to know that He's with you. He wants you to know that He can trust you with a gift. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so good to know that our Heavenly Father will trust you with a gift. So folks, the next time we meet, let's determine when we're on our way in here. Let's determine. Let God work. Let God work. Let God do His ministry in this place. Because we'll all be better for it. We'll all be better. Brother Larry?
You know, I think most of you have heard me stand up and give a word. I don't know if that looks easy or not, but it really feels more like stepping out over a canyon without a bridge. Now, it would seem to me that that canyon ought to get smaller and smaller and smaller. If anything, it gets bigger. But the point is this, He's making it possible, not you, so the fact that whatever size that canyon is doesn't count. But we have to go out and do what He wants. And who knows what it will be. Except for one thing, whenever you go do it, doesn't just apply to everybody else. It comes right like that. So go do it. Simple enough. Whatever it is.
Amen.
There's a reward that I can't describe.
You know, God talks to us in different ways. Years ago, He used me in the Word of Knowledge quite a bit. And I would get a similar pain or something to somebody. I mean, I hurt in a certain area. And well, what's up here? First you just react to the hurt and then you realize God's telling you something. And I would call somebody out because of that pain. Here they come. Sometimes more than one. Exactly for that pain that God gave me. And now, other times He may just whisper to you. He's inside of you, so it just may come out. But you're going to know that it's God. And the worst words you can say is, "Oh, it's just me." Because you won't do anything if it's just you.
Yeah.
I'm going to shut up.
Please don't. Keep pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. Try to ignore it. He keeps telling you over and over and over again.
Well, I love the Lord, folks.
Amen.
Amen. And He does so much for each and every one of us. He's done so much in my life. It's just remarkable. Y'all wouldn't like me years ago. And I'm not going to tell you why. Just know that God's changed me from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. Let's stand together.